Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Kind of picture Rams fans today driving around, going to work, going about their business, and jamming this song out. Although I think Rams fans did know what they got with David Roddy. Joining me now, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And it feels like a bittersweet kind of day, Kevin. Good for the program in the big picture of things, but certainly David Roddy staying in the NBA draft is going to have a significant impact on Colorado State as far as next season goes.
Yeah, absolutely. It big time changes the scope of things. And yeah, I think you're right for fans. It's one of those everyone I think is happy for David and excited for his future and, you know, excited to see what team he goes to and root for him there. But obviously I think every CSU fan was hoping to get one last dance, to use that kind of cliche now. With David and the whole team, and see how high they could go, because obviously with him, this was easily a top 25 team and huge potential. So yeah, I think bittersweet is the best word for it. But like you say, state of the program, big picture, it's a great sign. I mean, this is a kid who had some big time offers, committed to CSU when frankly there was no proof that things would be good here, and he came, turned the program around, and developed from, you know, kind of a freshman with some potential, but a lot of growing to do, to, 3 years later, an NBA player. So, that's a pretty good selling point that CSU can use moving forward with recruits.
No doubt. It's a big thing overall in the grand scheme of things. Kevin, what are you hearing as far as have you heard anything like when he made the decision? What ultimately changed, I don't want to say changed his mind, but put him over the edge, I suppose, to say, yeah, I'm staying in the draft? He had to have heard something that said, hey, we think you're probably late first round, maybe early second. I mean, he had to have heard something like that, right?
Yeah, he's such a fascinating case. I do truly think that at the end of the season, he expected to be back at CSU. I think the plan all along was that he would go through a draft process, but just listen to how he talked after that Michigan game. It sure sounded like a guy that fully intended to be back. But as he went through process, enough teams like him and like his skill set that he obviously feels comfortable. I've had some people say, well, surely he has a guarantee that he's a first round pick. I don't think that's the case. And teams, I think, don't make promises quite like that, like some people think. And even if they do, they can lie and renege on that if they have another player that they like on the board. But yeah, surely he has some very good intel that he's going to be drafted. And he's fascinating because, you look at mock drafts and stuff, and it's kind of all over the board. And I think one of the reasons is he's so much of a unique player. And, he even talked about this when I talked to him yesterday of, there are some teams that, flat out say, yeah, you're undersized. We don't think that you're a fit. But other teams look at him and say, oh man, you're going to create so many matchup problems. We love that. And frankly, that's what happened at CSU. There are some colleges that, will look at David Roddy and said, well, yeah, we like your potential, but what are you? I guess we'll have to play you at the three because you're not big enough to be a four. Where CSU said, shoot, we're going to play you at the four and we're going to play you at the five a lot. We're going to use a 6'5" center. A lot of programs wouldn't do that. So I think that's why he's so hard. These mock drafts are so all over the place, because, you could have 15 teams that say, yeah, you're a good kid, you're a nice player, but we don't see how you fit. And 15 who say, oh my gosh, you've got so many tools we can use. So, he's a fascinating one. He's going to get drafted. A couple of people have said, well, I don't think he's even getting drafted. David Roddy is not making this decision.
Right.
If there's any doubt that he would get drafted, he's not. That would be quite a foolish move, career-wise, and he must have some very good idea that he, certainly is getting drafted. Still, where he ends up is going to be big. If he slides in the 50s, that's that's pretty tough, you know, to make a roster from there. But, you know, if he goes top 40, he's probably feeling pretty good and will probably make pretty good money, because even though second round doesn't have the guaranteed money, some of those teams can offer it up. You know, a team like Toronto, for instance, you know, they don't have a first round pick, but they pick very early in the second round. They could easily say, well, you know, the money we would use on a first round pick, you know, we'll use on you because you're our second, you know, our first pick, but in the second round.
Kevin, what's interesting too, and I know you have your sources and everybody talking, people that I've talked to up until like yesterday was like, yeah, I'm still thinking 50-50, we'll see, blah, blah, blah. You just mentioned something, Toronto. He had to work out there, what was yesterday? He worked out with Toronto Tuesday, right, Kevin? I'm wondering right there, did Toronto say, hey, you know, and again, I know you're right, like, they're going to make promises they don't always deliver, but the Raptors are drafting, I think, 33rd or something like that. My brain was going to, I wonder if Toronto said, hey, if you're available at 33, we're going with you. And again, I know it doesn't always work out that way, but I just kept going to, did he hear something in the 11th hour that really put him over the edge to stay in the draft?
Yeah, I've wondered that myself. I to be honest, don't know. Obviously, he's not going to say, or anyone's going to say, because there are a lot of moving parts involved in that. But yeah, I've wondered that as well. And yeah, I talked to some, you know, folks in the know leading up to it, and they didn't seem to know. So they're either pretty good liars, which I don't think, or truly didn't know. And I think, and it makes sense with David. I mean, both of us know him pretty well. He's going to take all the time he has to make this decision. He wasn't going to rush it. He's not that type of guy. He's a guy that's going to take every bit of information and use that to make his choice. So in that way, it makes sense. But yeah, it was one of those that after the workout with Toronto, when he hadn't announced, you know, not that I expected, you know, he'd walk off the court and tweet, you know, I'm coming back to CSU. But, you know, when it had dragged into late, you know, yesterday afternoon, I'm thinking, well, he's probably gone, because if he was coming back, they would have, you know, he would have, you know, got to that announcement soon, because that's a pretty easy announcement to make of, you know, it was a great process. I'm eager to you know, be in the NBA someday, but I have more work to do at CSU. That's a pretty easy one. Whereas you could even tell in what he posted on Twitter and then our conversation after that, he fully believes in his decision, but he also has a big emotional attachment, put a lot of, you know, emotional energy into this. He said, you know, some of the phone calls he made, you know, to teammates and coaches and other folks, he said it was pretty emotional, because, you know, these guys have, you know, that junior, soon-to-be senior class has been through so much together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They've been. You know, I was just thinking today, back when we were calling Roddy and Stevens the Super Softs. You know, I mean, like, we, that wasn't that long ago. They kind of stormed onto the scene and shocked most of us. So it will be interesting to see how it works out for David. Kevin, and I didn't want to make this the poll question, because, again, it's David's decision. I did shoot him a text last week, and I just said, hey, whatever decision you make is the right one. But you've covered basketball for CSU for a long time. You've seen guys that are very good think that they can go to the next level. Maybe they fizzle out. They end up on some summer leagues, and then they're overseas. In your mind, do you think that it would have served David better to go back for one more year?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Obviously, a question I think all of us kind of get a lot. And, you know, it's one of those, and kind of the response I've said is on, you know, in a lot of ways, we can't answer that. You know, it's kind of, you know, if you or I get a job offer, you know, it's not really for anyone else to say if it's the right choice for us to take it or not take it. You know, there are so many, you know, personal, family, you know, self-motivation type things that go into it that we can't really say. Purely basketball, I mean, yeah, I do kind of think that coming back for one more year and, you know, improving on the, you know, the things that he would have heard and feedback, you know, could have maybe helped him secure more of a, you know, more certain, you know, first round spot. And that's why, you know, I do have a little concern of, you know, what if he slides, you know, ESPN, for instance, has him at 47th pick. You know, if he slides there, that's not a great place to be. But like I say, it's, you know, it's his choice. If he feels that, you know, the opportunity is there and, you know, he believes that he can go earn a roster spot, you know, who are we to say, you know, bad choice. So yeah, there's part of me that does wonder if another year, you know, would help him, but there are no guarantees either. Like, yeah, sure. You know, it's easy to think that things will go great, but things happen. So, you know, I can totally understand. You kind of mentioned at the start, and David said yesterday, he was choosing between two good options, and I don't think either one was a bad option. You could very easily justify going to the draft or coming back to CSU. So, and that's what David said. He said it was, you know, picking what he felt was the better of two really good options. So, you know, that's both a good place to be, but also makes it very tough, I think, when there was no, you know, clear cut, you know, right or wrong answer.
Kevin, what do you have a list, or do you know the teams that he's worked out? I know he's working out with Portland today. I know he talked to the Pacers. I know he talked to Toronto. Do you have the list of teams? And that doesn't always mean everything. I know the Nuggets have. I don't think they worked out Bones Highland last year, if I'm not mistaken. So, what do you have the list of teams he's worked out for?
Yeah, so I believe it's Indiana, Orlando, Toronto. He's in Portland to work out today. Golden State tomorrow. And then there will be more. It changes all the time. But it makes sense. If you look at most of those teams, you know, the first three I mentioned are the first three picks in the second round. Obviously, Golden State is picking late. So it makes sense kind of in the range that you would think. But like you say, there could be, you know, team smokescreen that are in love with David Roddy but don't want to work him out, you know, to kind of hide the fact that they love David Roddy. So yeah, it means maybe something, but maybe nothing. But that is the group, and we have talked about, and this is what another reason why, you know, kind of mock drafts are tough, is we know damn well that David Roddy, when he talks to teams, are going to blow them away as a person.
Sure.
No one will leave a meeting thinking, I'm not sure we want that guy representing our organization. So he's going to win all those. So, you know, he only needs one team to love him as a basketball player, because they all are going to love him as a person. So that's why, you know, one of the reasons why he'll find a spot. So I'm pretty intrigued to see, you know, kind of who that is, where he goes. There are so many different ways you can see it going, but it will be cool for CSU fans to be cheering him on in the NBA next year.
It's interesting, too, with Golden State, because, you know, he's drawn those comparisons to Draymond Green. Draymond's not going to play forever. And I mean, so that would be an interesting a pick there for sure. All right, so moving on, life without David Roddy. We certainly know that there's been some other losses before Roddy. Obviously, Chandler Jacobs, we knew that was done. His eligibility is up. Deshaun Thomas has jumped over to the Big Sky Conference. Kendall Moore moved on. So some pretty good pieces to the puzzle, but you still have Isaiah Stevens. You outlined this perfectly in your article yesterday. You still have Isaiah Stevens, John Tanjay, Jalen Lake. David Roddy said on this show that Jalen Lake is the future of the Rams. So are they in great hands, good hands? Are we a little nervous about their back-to-back March Madness bids next year?
Yeah, I mean, still good hands. Obviously, like I say, it changes the scope of things significantly. You know, you just had 20 points and 8 rebounds a game walk out the door, so you don't just you know, roll over and say no problem, we're good to go. But you have Isaiah Stevens, who, you know, don't forget, he was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year, not David Roddy, back when they were freshmen. You know, he's a phenomenal player, arguably the best point guard in the conference, and probably one of the top 5 or 6 players in the conference. So starting off with it, you know, the best point guard in the league is not a bad place to go. John Tanjay is one of the big pieces for me. He has so much potential, and he showed at times, you know, the 31 points against Oral Roberts obviously was sort of a highlight. And don't forget, he played most of the second half of the season on a partially torn meniscus, so that obviously hindered him. But he's a guy that has a lot of potential to be really good, and now he's going to have, you know, I guess more of the capability to do it. He's going to be more of the focal point of the offense. And then you have some question marks. You know, is Patrick Cartier, the D2 All-American transfer, is he going to start? Like you said, Jalen Lake, David Roddy loves Jalen Lake. He's not alone. A lot of players, you know, everyone in that program does. He's primed for a big sophomore jump, I think. You know, Josiah Strong, we expect to be a pretty good scorer at the shooting guard. And then, you know, what's left? They have 2 open scholarships. The transfer portal, of course, has been picked pretty clean, but there are good players out there. It'll be a tough battle to get some of the good ones, because, you know, some of your Power Fives, like a Michigan that lost several guys in the draft, yesterday are going to be hunting as well. So it's a little tough there, but I still would expect CSU to add at least one transfer. So I still think this is a top four or five in the Mountain West, or three to five, I would say, in the Mountain West. I think San Diego State and Wyoming are your clear one and two. And then I think CSU, Boise State, and probably maybe even New Mexico are your next three. I think CSU has an ability to make the NCAA tournament. There are, you know, a lot of X factors, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think it could happen. It's probably just a little different. You know, if Roddy had been back, making the tournament would have been, you know, like a baseline expectation, whereas now it's probably more an aspirational goal to hunt for. But you have some good pieces, and, you know, fans look at things kind of year to year, but obviously coaches look bigger picture, and, you know, that's why you bring in a guy like Jalen Lake and start developing him, because, you know, David Roddy wasn't going to be here forever. So, you know, coaches are always thinking of the next group. So it's still a good team. I think it should be a good season. We'll see where the roster lands, but I don't think it's all doom and gloom.
Well, and you got a heck of a coaching staff, too. At the end of the day, it's like I said, Nico has yet to let anybody down. He's only gotten better. So that coaching staff, I would put some faith in those guys for sure. Kevin, wonderful article. I highly recommend people to check out the Coloradoan. Nobody does it better as far as daily Rams coverage, what you're doing. And you outlined it beautifully in this article yesterday. So I think that gives some Rams fans some hope if you bust through that story just as you highlight some of these players. Kevin, my man, we'll look to catch up with you next week. We're up against a break here, but appreciate you jumping on. Crazy times for Colorado State for sure. But like you said, it's not all doom and gloom at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks for having me, Brady.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Well, David said it during the David Roddy show, which, that's sad, Jades. No more David Roddy show. Huh? He said it on the show, though, that Jalen Lake is the future of the Rams. And Isaiah Stevens is pretty damn good. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's not perfect. But there's some stuff to worry about, yes. But you still have a hell of a coaching staff. You still have some really good pieces on this roster. 12:52 the time. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our number one already. Is Wyoming going to be the team to beat alongside perhaps San Diego State in the Mountain West Conference? It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.